This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. There's so much to talk about. What's up with these Trump cases? Someone wants to talk about health insurance, how many donuts I can eat, all that and so much more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to talk about this Nancy Pelosi thing, though. Lady wrote in, she said, Nancy Pelosi falls down the stairs, she breaks her hip, and then the first thing she does is pose for a photo op. Who thinks like this? Who does this stuff? And I've had this discussion with you before. We did a show on this a while back. But there is something interesting that I have seen over the course of my life in different professions, different fields. And it's actually something that scares me because it's something I worry about happening to me. So we'll come back to politicians and Nancy Pelosi in just a moment. I have a friend of mine. He is a radio host. He actually does exactly what I do in a different market. I'm not going to go into it, but I don't want to give out who he is because I'm about to insult the guy in a different kind of a way. But I like him. We are friends. A wonderful human being. And I knew him long before I was ever doing media or radio. I knew him back when I was working construction. But we got to know each other. And there is something about him that I cannot stand. I know you're going to find this shocking, but I actually don't like to make a scene in public. I don't like to make other people... I don't like to interrupt their dinner. If you ask me, one of the rudest things in the world is all of you people. It's either kids or old people. It doesn't seem to be anyone in between. Young people or old people who pull up music or videos or stuff on your phone and watch it at full volume while other people are eating or around you. Get some freaking headphones. No one cares about your Instagram videos. Like that. So that's the kind of mentality I have. My kids are not, even when they were younger, they're not allowed to make a scene in a restaurant. You stow that crap right now, I'll be dragging you to the bathroom in a second, son. That's not allowed. It was not allowed in my house. I don't like making a scene. And while I have a loud voice, my voice carries, I realize that. I am conscious, at least I try to be, about how loud I'm being in public settings, especially in one where people are quiet. My buddy, who's the radio host, well... he's unbelievably loud. And he's unbelievably loud because he's been a radio host for so long. You know, when you do this job, it's human nature. You've heard me do it, especially when I get mad, how you'll project your voice. It's human nature. You elevate. And he does this for 3 hours a day and has been doing it for 3 hours a day for, gosh, I think he's been doing it for 25, 30 years. And again, I love the guy. If we're hanging out just alone, I love the guy. But two or three times I have met with him in public at a restaurant. Hey, man, let's stop and get some cheese sticks and a beer here. Sounds good. And you're sitting around just discussing the news of the day, and I'm talking to him the exact same way I'm talking to you now. And what do you get back from him? I know, that's exactly what I was talking about. I see what you're just like, oh, my gosh, can you dial that down like 25 notches, please, please. But he's not doing it on purpose, right? He's done what he's done for so long. It has become ingrained in his personality and how he conducts himself in his daily life. And he probably couldn't stop doing that even if he tried. He has projected his voice for so long that now that's how he talks. And I'll tell you, because of the dinners with him, I worry about me. What if that happens to me one day? Okay, back to Nancy Pelosi. Politicians, I am of the belief that you can be, I've told you this before, that you can be a politician for too long, and that if you are a politician for long enough, that your soul will leave you. And I don't actually mean that. I realize that your soul is still going to be there. We want everyone to come back to you, Lord. I got that. Is that you, but you understand what I mean. You can be a politician for long enough that the genuine things inside of you, genuine thoughts, genuine emotions and things like that, they simply have, they've not been used for so long, you will lose the ability to use them at all. Being a politician, politicking, messaging, everything being about a photo op or popularity or the poll numbers, you can do it for long enough that that becomes who you are. Nancy Pelosi takes a tumble, breaks a bunch of bones. The first thing she does is, hey, this will be great for the poll numbers. Hey, get this shot. No. Camera a little higher. Yep, get it right here. Look at me. Who does that? Yeah, you know who it reminds me of is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is one of the worst at this, so I thought it would be a wonderful example. You've heard me scream about it on the air because Joe Biden lost his son, Beau. What would be worse? There's nothing I could think of in the world worse than losing a child. Losing a child, it's, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine. Joe Biden has repeatedly brought up the death of his son whenever a political situation gets uncomfortable for him. Maybe he's said or done something wrong, or when he's not really sure what else to say, or he'll pull out the death of his son, Beau, as if it's a card he can play in various times. Look, here's just a couple examples. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I know, everybody, I know there's nothing anybody can say or do to ease the pain. I've been there.
Yes, sir, we understand.
My son spent a year in Iraq. That's how I lost him. And,
That was Joe Biden talking to a family who just lost their son. There's nothing worse you can do for someone who's grieving than to make it about you. But for Joe Biden, it's not even a son anymore. There's no genuine emotions anymore. It's just a card you pull. I'm not sure what else to say. My son! But again, it wasn't a one-off. We could do this for 3 hours.
And they talk about inflation. You know, we're dealing with it for a whole second. Inflation is a worldwide problem right now. Because of a war in Iraq and the impact on oil and what Russia's doing. The war in Ukraine. And thinking of Iraq because that's where my son died.
Screwed up, said something wrong. He knew he screwed up. He knew his brain farts were in the news too much, that he misspeaks too much. And so what did his mind do? His mind immediately scrambled. Uh-oh, I screwed up. I better play a card. Oh, wait, the Beau Biden card. My son died. Iraq. See that, guys? Feel bad for me. You can be a politician for too long. And I want to caution you, because I know there are a bunch of really solid ones listening. People at the local level who maybe are thinking about moving up. Maybe you're on the city council. You're thinking about going for state or running for Congress. Or you think, and I applaud you for that. I want you to do that. That's the idea. Get these wonderful local people. Get involved locally. Get a good support base. Learn how to raise money. Learn how to do it. And then get up there to the national level. I want you to do it. Be very, very careful of doing it for too long. You can be a politician for too long. And I've seen it over and over and over again. Dr. Jesse, much glee about the cases. He's talking about the Trump lawfare. Much glee about the cases dropped or disqualifications. But how many of these are gone forever? And how many are just in hibernation for 4 years? All right, well, let's take the Trump stuff off the table. Because I think the Trump cases, the ones we have now, are for the most part dead. But I wanted to read that question and I wanted to talk about it because there's an interesting answer to that. We have this huge election win. We had this huge election win in November. And more than just the election, the culture itself feels like it's breaking our way and most definitely breaking against them. It's breaking against them and the things they want. It's almost as if
they pushed things too far, which of course they did. That's what commies always do. They pushed it too far, too fast. People are recoiling and there's a pushback. So all that stuff is very, very good. But there is something about the law affair that happened in the last 4 years that concerns me a great, great, great deal. Letitia James. Let's just focus on Letitia James or Alvin Bragg. The thing applies to both of them. New York DA Alvin Bragg, New York AG Letitia James. Let me ask you. They did all this unjust lawfare against Donald Trump. Is it going to hurt their careers or help their careers? Well, the answer is obvious. They're not going to face any political pushback for it at all. Adam Schiff spent the last few years lying about every single thing in regards to Trump and Russian collusion and whatnot. He was not only not punished for it, he is about to be a United States senator from the most powerful state in the union, California, in large part because of the name he made for himself smearing dishonestly Republicans. Letitia James and Alvin Bragg are going to be Democrat royalty forever because of what they did. I have concerns. I'll share them with you in a moment. Before we get to that, I'm concerned that you're still living with pain every day. I'm concerned you think that you should just tough it out, ignore it. It's fine. It's just a back. I'll get by. Before you do that, before you decide that you're just going to live with it, would you do something for me? Would you try Relief Factor? All I'm asking is one time. No, I'm not asking to sign up for a lifetime supply. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks before you sign up for a lifetime of pain. 3 weeks. They sell three-week quick start kits for $19.95. It's a nutritional supplement. It's drug-free, 100% drug-free. Take it every single day. And 3 weeks from now, you email me and tell me how you feel. Before you accept a lifetime of daily pain, just try it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So the guy emailed, asked a question about the lawfare against Trump. Is it all done? Is it going to come back in 4 years? Don't worry about Trump anymore. That stuff is probably done. Trump's probably scot-free now. He's going to pardon himself from anything federal. They're going to let the other stuff die now. But I have a huge concern. What Democrats did during the last 4 years was evil. It wasn't wrong. It was evil. From what they did with the border to what they did with the lawfare stuff, they finally got into enough positions of power where they could use the law against their political enemies, and in every possible way they did. January 6th people, Trump stuff, that fake assassination plot against Gretchen Whitmer, pro-lifers, school board moms, they really flexed their muscle. They took over the CHECA, the FBI, the DOJ, and they used it. Full speed ahead, all gas, no brakes, baby. If people don't go to prison for what Democrats just spent 4 years doing, and I don't know if they're going to. They might. Maybe Pam Bondi, Trump's AG, Cash Patel, maybe they're going to get in there and they're going to bring criminal charges. But if they don't, if there aren't criminal charges for what was done over the last 4 years, if that doesn't happen, then why wouldn't they do it again? If it's just a bunch of screaming and yelling, that was wrong, guys, you shouldn't have done that. Why wouldn't they do it again next time they take power? Letitia James is not going to suffer political blowback for going after Donald Trump in an illegal, horrible way. Letitia James is going to be the governor of New York or senator of New York. Alvin Bragg, same thing. He's not going to suffer some blowback. Oh, Alvin Bragg's really screwed up now. He didn't screw up. He's going to be the AG of that state or senator or governor. Adam Schiff, man, that guy's a liar. He's going to get what's coming to him. What's coming to him is a gigantic office in Washington, D.C. that says Senator Adam Schiff, senator from California. That's what's coming to him. If there is not real punishment for the people in government who spent the last 4 years attacking us. If they don't face time behind bars, then all we've done is buy ourselves a four-year pause on that kind of evil. And I don't want that, and you don't want that. We must resist the urge for calm, peace. Let's get along now. We have to do things the right way. No, 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 no. The right way is justice. Not revenge, not retribution, justice. If you use your position in government to attack your political opposition, you must go to prison. Dear Jesse, or you know what? Let's do a voicemail, shall we?
Hey, Jesse, this is Lewis. I was going through a box in the garage that I had in elementary school back in the 70s, and I found some erasers of the Frito Bandito, and they're in mint condition. They go on the back of a pencil. I'd love to share that with you.
That's freaking awesome. I've actually seen advertisements for those Frito Bandito erasers before. It makes me miss him.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Dear Jesse, well before the United Healthcare CEO was assassinated, I've repeatedly heard the argument from the left that we need to socialize medicine. It's brought up as a reflex. They always bring up socialized medicine and how America's health insurance is a scam. I agree. Healthcare in the U.S. costs so much money, it's basically unattainable. I have three siblings, none of whom have any health insurance because it's too expensive for them and their jobs don't provide any sort of plans. The insurance companies constantly screw us over, and so do the doctors. How can we demand change in our healthcare system without resorting to socialized medicine or violence? Well, what we need, if we're ever going to get real change in the healthcare system, we need two things. We need an understanding of why it's so expensive. We have to understand that, and we will discuss that in just a moment. We're going to talk about that. We have to understand why it's so expensive. That's one. And two, we have to be willing to do something most people are not willing to do. Maybe you're not willing to do it. We have to say no. Can you do that? Oh, everyone thinks they can. Everyone thinks that no. I'm going to say no. That guy wants in my house. I'm going to say no. That guy, he wants to borrow my tools. Last time he did that, he didn't give them back. I'm going to say no. I hope I don't cave. No is a very, very difficult thing for most people to say. And probably even more difficult than no is no, you're not allowed in here. No, you can't come in. No, you're not welcome. We have a very hard time with that on the right. So we're going to do two things next. We're going to discuss why healthcare is so expensive and why saying no is necessary. Before we do that, let's talk about the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, on the ground in Israel for over 40 years, providing for people who are under attack all the time. You know, Hamas used to take the water line we would give them, just PVC pipe. We would give them pipe so they could provide people with water. And instead of providing their people with water, they let them die of thirst. And instead they made rocket launchers with them. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. Imagine having that for a neighbor. I'm mad at mine because he won't cut his grass. It's a little bit worse over there. Help the IFCJ help people who have rockets raining down on their heads. Go to supportifcj.org or you can give them a call, 888-488-IFCJ. Let's talk about health care. And then, almost to piggyback off that, how many donuts can I eat? Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, hoping you are preparing to have for yourself a very, very, very Merry Christmas as we celebrate the birth of Jesus in this country. Thank you, Lord, for coming to save all of us. Now, allow me to go into the healthcare thing. United Healthcare CEO. Lady writes an email and she starts complaining about healthcare. How do we fix this without socialized medicine, without resorting to violence? How do we fix our healthcare system? First, let's understand why healthcare is so expensive in the United States of America. Because it has been, and in many ways, it is still very cutting edge. So our technologically, we are advancing, you know, better medicines, better this, better that, but it is so expensive now. Normal people can't afford it. First, let's get this out of the way, but this is really going to explain most of it. Let's talk about not just Obamacare, but the laws and regulations on health. The health industry, medical industry, I'll call it medical industry, is always going to be ripe. It might be the most ripe industry for government involvement. And here is why. It's that human nature thing that we've talked about so many times before. During times of sadness, times of pain, of heartbreak, it is human nature to look for help, and it is human nature to look for someone to blame. It's human nature to look for someone to blame, even if there's no one to blame. You could have your wife die of a heart attack. And during the grief process, I've seen this a million times, during the grieving process, there will be a day, a moment, maybe a week, where you're mad at her about it. Why didn't she stick around? Shouldn't have had that extra slice of pizza. She'd still be here with me now. You laugh, but it's true. During times of sadness and pain, you blame. Well, medical is awful. I was in the hospital a month ago, I think it was. Don't worry, nothing serious is fine. But I had to go to the ER hospital a month ago. In this ER, it was like something out of the movies. It was a MASH unit. There was a kid puking his guts up in the bags. The nurses are around him. I managed to get my own room, but there were people lined up in the hallway who were sick, injured, broken arms. There was a little old lady, broke my friggin' heart, right outside of my room. Her whole arm was bruised, and she spent the whole 2 or 3 hours I was there crying out, "Nurse, somebody help me!" It was awful, right? It was awful. You're cringing right now, except for the doctors and nurses. Everyone else is cringing right now. It's awful. It's a horrible scene. So when you need medical care, when someone you love needs medical care, it rips your heart out. And oftentimes, you want someone to blame. And even if everything gets fixed, okay, my son, he fell, he broke his arm, we got him finally fixed up, he's in a cast, you come home from the hospital, and then you get a bill for $15,000. Who has $15,000 to just pay for a medical bill? So your family's wiped out now? And off of that anger, off of that sadness, what do people do? The most human nature thing in the world. They look for someone to blame, and then they look for someone to help. This is outrageous. Someone should do something. The most dangerous words in the English language. Somebody do something. As we've talked about many times before. And so what happens? Lawmakers take advantage of that, and they get up and they say, these hospitals overcharge, these insurance companies, we need to pass this 2,000-page law to get these insurance costs under control. It's how they passed Obamacare. Obamacare, of course, being the worst offender of this. But what happens when somebody does something, when government gets involved? When government gets involved, the quality goes down, the price goes up. That's not an American thing. That's universal. Once government gets involved, the quality of any industry, whatever it is, goes down and the cost will go up.
Now, you walk into your doctor's office, they have so many rules and regulations put on them, your doctor hardly even has a moment to look you in the eye, if he even wants to. You go sit down with your doctor, he faces away from you, he sits in the chair, he sits there and does data entry, click, 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 on his computer the entire time. Hold on, I have to open up this sub-tab, but wait, you said you had a headache. Was it for 2 to 5 days or 6 to 9 days? I have to edge it. And after you're done with that half-hour-long doctor appointment, he turns around. Okay, here's 5 prescriptions. Thanks. Next! That's medical care. And that's because the government has gotten involved and passed law after law and regulation after regulation after regulation, taking over the entire industry. You want to know one of the fastest-growing industries in the country? Concierge medicine. Medicine that separates itself from that. Only the really rich people buy it. And I have a buddy who's involved. He's starting a startup, a concierge medicine company. And you know what he said his biggest problem is? Finding enough doctors because the patients are lined up. Lined up to escape our healthcare system now. So that's one of the reasons it's so expensive. Well, that's one of the two things. It's so expensive. One, because government got involved. People kept crying out for help. This is crazy. I hate this bill. My mom died. I'm angry about this. We should sue and then pass a law. Let's sue and then pass a law. Wait a minute. Hey, why is this so expensive? That's why. And then the other part of it is saying no. Saying no. Let's say I'm on a very, very limited budget, which with a wife, I most certainly am. But let's say I'm on a very, very limited budget. And we're going to have a Christmas party at my house. And we're going to invite 10 people over for the Christmas party. And at this Christmas party, we're going to have a big ham. We're going to have a gigantic ham. All right? That's going to be the main dish. And then Chris, Jewish producer Chris, says, hey, I want to come to your Christmas party, but I don't have the money to buy anything other than ham. Well, Chris can't eat ham. He's Jewish. That's pork. He's not going to be allowed to eat that. So, you know what people have a hard time doing? Saying, no, Chris, you can't come because I'm not going to buy a new dish just special for you. So, no, you're not welcome. Now, of course, Chris already knows he's not welcome in my house, but you understand what I'm saying. Obviously, it was just an analogy. You get what I mean, though, when it comes to health insurance, like anything else. These politicians play to our emotions and they try to tell you that insurance companies should have to insure people who are already sick. Well, if you force an insurance company to cover the guy who's already sick, then guess what happens to all the people who aren't sick? They have to pay more to pay for the extra insurance cost of the guy who's sick. Your health insurance costs so much in part because your insurance company is forced by law to cover the guy who's going to die next year. Therefore, they know they have all sorts of costs coming, costs associated with that particular guy, and they have to turn around and charge everyone else. Look, it's not like I'm cheering on insurance companies, but United Healthcare's CEO was just assassinated. Do you know what United Healthcare Company, you know what their profit margin was? 6%. I have friends in construction, their regular profits for the year are between 20 and 30%. After everything is paid, taxes, labor, everything else, they make between 20 and 30%. That's what some industries will do. In health insurance, it's 6. But we look at this bill and we can't afford it and we blame the insurance companies instead of blaming the scumbag politicians who did this to us and instead of realizing that some people have to be told no. No, it's a very hard thing to tell people, but it must be done. But I want you to say yes to Done For You Real Estate. That's what I want. I want you, speaking of money, how about putting your money in something that doesn't disappear the second the stock market wakes up in the morning and is in a bad mood that day? How about things you can touch and feel? Those are the things that last. Those are the things that stand the test of time. Done For You Real Estate could generate consistent tax-free income for you. You know, all those rich guys buy a property for a reason. Well, I know you're not rich, but Done For You Real Estate's for normal people. It's not for millionaires and billionaires. It's not. Now I sound like Obama, millionaires and billionaires, but it's not. It's for normal people. The other people are already buying real estate. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out what they do. They handle everything. The financing, the closing process, the rental process. They'll handle everything for you. Doneforyoujesse.com. All right. Let's talk donuts and Trump and Elon versus George Soros. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Oh, I'm so excited for Christmas this year. Okay, so we have a bunch of questions we still have to get to, and I'm going to dive in now with something that's a little bit heavy and something that may have you screaming at me, but that's fine. This guy says, Jesse, I'm tired of you not addressing the real questions out there that we all need answers to. How many hot, fresh, Krispy Kreme donuts can you down at one time? Also, can your small hands handle a box of a dozen hot, fresh donuts? All right. So let's talk. I am not anti-donut at all. And to answer your question, Krispy Kreme donuts are amazing. I remember the first time I discovered in Las Vegas the Krispy Kreme donut store where you can watch the donuts go through the oven and then just get kamalad with the icing, and then they'll bring them out to you hot and fresh. They're still warm, and I've memorized by it. Like the first time Lewis and Clark gazed at the Pacific Ocean, that was me watching my donut be made in front of me. So I'm a Krispy Kreme fan. I would say now, because I don't want to not answer your question, if I had to, I think I could eat four. If I had to. Four. You don't think that's high enough, Chris? Chris is saying higher. It's not that I don't think I could hammer down maybe one or two more, possibly. But this is going to come back to my point. It's so sweet that now it's just too much sugar. I think I would stop enjoying it after two. By the time I got to four, it's too much. And I know every kid listening right now is screaming at the radio, I'm an idiot. Trust me, you're going to get to some point in your life when you're old and bald like I am where you can have too much sweet. What, Chris? What? Chris said, how sweet are they? They're really sweet, buddy. They're really sweet. Everyone's had a glazed donut, okay? These are that plus. They're that plus. No, they're great. No. But even the chocolate iced ones, even those are glazed first, and then they put the chocolate icing on them. Dude, it's a lot. No, they're amazing. If you get them fresh, they're amazing. I like Krispy Kreme, but whew, it's a lot. So I would say four. However, I am obviously I'm okay with sweets. I'm not against sweets. I don't like sweets that much for breakfast. If you were to present to me the biggest plate in the world of the fluffiest, most delicious pancakes with all the fixings, whatever you wanted, butter and syrup and all the whipped cream, everything you could put on there, it's not that I'd be grossed out. Ew, get those cakes away from me. But if you were to offer me that, and then sitting right beside it was a plate full of eggs and hash browns, maybe some jalapenos and cheese chopped up in those hash browns with some bacon and stuff on there, and you were to offer me that 100 times, I don't know that I would pick the pancakes once. I am not a sweets for breakfast guy. When I go to McDonald's, when you're on the road, because everyone goes to McDonald's when you're on a road trip, believe me, if you don't do this, as soon as you have kids who are in sports, you will do this. Oh, it's 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and we're driving an hour away for an eight-hour swim meet. We need to get something to eat. Everyone swings through McD's. My go-to order at McD's is sausage McMuffin with egg. Sausage McMuffin, not ham. Sorry, Chris, their sausage is delicious. And a couple of those little sausage burritos. I like McDonald's hotcakes. I can eat them. Couple bites. That's all. Well, Chris, what's your go-to order at McDonald's since you can't have any of the sausage or ham? What? I'm not rubbing it in. You prefer a kolache over anything? Is that what I asked, Chris? Did I say what your preferred breakfast food is? Did I say that, Chris? Did I ask that? You can eat at McDonald's? Oh, there's nothing kosher? Not for breakfast.
pancakes have to be kosher. You don't like them at all? Jewish producer Chris said he'd rather eat nothing than pancakes. Now, I wouldn't go that far. What is your problem? Jesse, what can Trump or Elon do to combat George Soros? They're doing it. Listen, there's something out there happening right now that is incredibly important. In some ways, it may be a little dangerous, but it is incredibly important. You know what the triumvirate is, right? The first we'll focus on the first one. You know what the first triumvirate was? Well, Rome had developed this horribly corrupt political system that only existed to serve the elites in their society. It abused their citizens, brought in endless amounts of foreigners. None of this is sounding familiar, right? A terribly corrupt, evil political system had developed. But it was so powerful. How could anyone oppose it? Well, Julius Caesar, Crassus, and Pompey Magnus, they figured something out. And because they traditionally didn't always get along, but they figured this out. One of us, any one of us, we cannot take on this entire evil system on our own. But we are all three individually very, very powerful. If we join forces, if we form a triumvirate, we can take on, possibly, we can take on this big evil system and win. What's happening right now, I mean, you hate to make all these historical comparisons, but it's from my view, it's very, very similar to that. We have this huge, evil, criminally corrupt system right now, and Trump is running against it. And Elon Musk, the richest, most powerful man in the world, well, richest man in the world, they trannied his son. He is very, very angry about that. He has been very honest about the fact he's angry about that. They trannied his son. So this lifelong Democrat, for that and other reasons, got very angry at this evil system, and he decided he was going to declare war on it. He bought the most influential social media app. He decided to publicly throw millions and millions of dollars behind Trump for his election. They have joined forces. Two of the most powerful people on the planet have joined forces. Does that mean they're going to be able to snap their fingers and defeat the system? No, I don't think that's realistic. But those two combined, they do present a significant problem that the system has never faced in my lifetime. The system has never faced that kind of powerful opposition to it. It's never faced something like that. So that's a good thing. In case you're wondering what that sound was, I was pushing a piece of paper off the soundboard and then I fat fingered a button. My bad. Hey, how are your T levels? You getting them up? What if you did this? What if you did this? What if you went to Chalk.com right now and you ordered for yourself, you signed up, you got a subscription for a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack, and in conjunction with that, what if you went and got your blood work done? Not next week, week after, whatever. First week of January. So you go get your subscription and then you go get your blood work done. And then after taking your stack for a year, go back and get your blood work done next year. What if you did that and emailed me what you found? You'd be blown away. You'll know before then that it's working because of how good you feel. Go get some natural herbal supplements in your body, in your life, in your mind. Make your life better. Make your life longer. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.